Well, good morning, Calvary Church. It is so good to be with you. We're grateful on a great summer day like we have today. So glad that you're with us. And so thanks for joining us, not only those who are here in person, but to those who are joining us online. A big welcome. The Big Surf. So as we are here today, why are we doing this? And so I felt like today would be a great moment. I really debated about having Pastor Don preach today. And then I'm just like, you know what? This is a moment that I wasn't going to just give up for a moment. Because why are we doing this? And we're setting some foundational DNA culture for Calvary Church for the future. And to impact our culture of today, a church has to be on mission, in service, and in compassion. And if you miss that, you will be tone deaf to being able to be effectively reaching culture. And so today, I want to just take time. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, I just want to start answering this question, why are we doing this? Why am I doing this? And sometimes it's great when we ask ourselves these types of questions, like, why am I doing this specifically? Why am I behaving the way I am? Why am I saying something like this? Why do I act like this? It's always, why questions are always good to ask ourselves. We've got certain traditions, holidays that we do, and why do we do them? And some points, if we don't ask ourselves that too often, one of the things that can happen is, like, even when you look at holidays like Thanksgiving, you know, why do we always do certain things on a certain day? And is it just because it's what you've done? Or is there meaning behind it? And if there's meaning behind it, that's what's great. And that's why I wanted to be able to bring scripture to why we are doing what we're doing. Because as a church, if all we do is some of our actions isn't driven from His word, then why are we doing this? And this is where I wanted us to be able to go, because the answer to our question this morning is found in Luke chapter 10. And Jesus pulled off a big serve of his own. And he did that over 2,000 years ago. And this passage does a great job of describing it. So turn with me to Luke chapter 10, where we find Jesus is about sending out the 72 disciples. And this is a well-known passage. It's the first big serve. But it provides a perfect picture for us of what it means practically to demonstrate the love of Christ today, which is the task of every local church, every individual follower of Jesus. That is our mission, is to let other people know about the love of Jesus. And so whether you've got your physical Bible, you got your digital Bible, here's a few things I want to pass off to you today. And so let's do an overview of the story and jump into it. But I want you to notice three things that from this passage as we step into this week of serving. First, in the first four verses, Jesus prepared them. And I want you to capture this and see this as we look at, start off in verse 1. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. So Jesus is getting 72 other disciples. This is a big project. It couldn't just stick with the 12. Like, this is a big project. It can't just stick with ministry leaders. Can't just stick with selected leaders. This was beyond the main 12. Jesus is letting them know that this is a big deal, what I'm asking you to do. And so I hope you're capturing this. Verse 2, Jesus sets the picture for why. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. See, there's a lot that can be done right now, but you don't have enough to pull it off. When we start to go through our list of what we need to, what we'd love to be able to accomplish by Thursday at 5 o'clock, it's going to take more than just a handful. But if we have the 72, what could be done? And here's how I encourage you to pray as we step into this. And Jesus gives us this when we start looking into verse 3, that we pray to to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send us the workers. And verse 3, now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. That's an encouraging word, isn't it? I'm sending you out. But Jesus goes on, verse 4, don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. See, Jesus is preparing them. He's going to say, hey, this task list is big, it's long, but if you follow me, if you come and follow me, see, there's a sense of security. He's telling them, don't rely on your wealth, your expertise. Just let your life be lived out like this. That's why the visual that we've been using of the big serve, it's empty-handed. It's, here's my hand, here's my service. As we step out, and see, there's a part that I want to challenge you with on this, is this big serve is providing us something very similar as what Jesus was giving the 72. See, the Lord is giving us an opportunity to step out over the line this week and follow him, to step out of our comfort zone. Opportunities are going to come along that things are not going to go as planned. Things aren't going to be just all smooth. But when we keep that heart of service and we follow what Jesus gives, it's really amazing. So as we go out, the great thing is we're representing Jesus. When we go out, it's simply a matter of, Lord, you've ordained this day, and I'm going to roll with it. And it's one of the great reminders, even as we live our ordinary, everyday life, but this week of service, intentionally, we get to, as we serve, we get to be praying blessings over organizations in our city. So as we're doing projects at the Boys and Girls Club, and this has been the fascinating thing for me, is I couldn't tell you how many different points when I'm getting different pieces for the supplies, the people I'm talking with is, I send my kid there. And we are beginning to touch. So as I'm having conversation with them, they're already seeing a benefit that's going to impact them. And one of the great parts is that we can be praying for these organizations and the families that they serve. When I think of Abundant Life Mission, they have a lot of needs. And for us to come alongside and lift some of their project list so that they can be fully focused on helping the helpless. Some points, the hopeless. That can help them minister to people and put their full attention to what God has called them to do. That's a partnership. And that's what we get to do this week. And that's what Jesus is preparing us for. And that we could be praying that God's influence on this organization will be bigger and better than it ever has as we're doing our service. Secondly, I want you to notice this out of this passage. Jesus gave purpose to them. From verses 5 through 16, look at it with me. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet and show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And we know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom was better off than such a town on judgment day. What sorrow awaits Chorazin and Bethsaida. For if the miracles I did in you had been done by the wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented in their sins long ago. Clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their head to show their remorse. Yes, Sire and Tyre and Sidon will be better off on judgment day than you. And you, people of Capernaum, you will be honored in heaven? No. Then he said to his disciples, Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who is rejecting me, rejects you, is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. See, another big reason why we're doing the Big Serve, and this passage provides a great reminder, is that God is sending us out as his advance team. So when we're going out doing these projects, we're going out in advance that we're putting God back on the radar of people. And it's one of the things that the church has to get out of the four walls. We've got to be in the relationships within our city. And some points that will only happen when we begin to serve and we have the conversations. And it's one of the parts Jesus told them. And as Jesus is telling them, one of the great things about his instructions in this verse is you don't need to go in with a bullhorn. You don't need to be going out and passing tracts, even though there's nothing bad about it. But he's saying, you don't need to go in and blast your way in. You don't have to demonstrate that here you are, that you've arrived. You just need to go and make people feel spiritually guilty, but you go in serving people. And when you go in, the next thing you'll note in that principle is that they stayed focused on is those who are open to the message. Part of the reasons of the organizations we get to serve this week is because we connected and there was an openness and there's a favor and God opened the door. And so that's why it's unique. So you might be asking, well, why is it the homeless shelter? Why is it Boys and Girls Club? Why is it that why are we doing things with the city? God's giving us a unique favor and God's opened doors. And so we get to be an advanced team that throughout the week, people are going to ask you the same question that I'm trying to help answer and Jesus is help answering. Because people will ask, why would a church do this? And it becomes the greatest opportunity that we can say is, well, this is what Jesus would do if he was here. If Jesus was here, you know what Jesus would be doing? Is he would be doing a big serve. And it wouldn't be like this big sign up. It would, because it's his mission. Is he would be finding needs and ministering to it. And that's the very heart that we get to do this week. And God has given us incredible doors, open doors. And you know what I love about this? Because here's the deal. There's parts this week in of itself is really a flash. But when it's coupled with all the other intentional opportunities that you as a church have done so phenomenal at. When I look at Feed the Need, the first of every month, I mean, I love to brag on you on this. Is there isn't a first Sunday of every month that I do not see that chest overflowing. And we're trying to restack food. So it's not in the way when people are walking in. You are phenomenal givers. And the people that are being impacted and benefited in our area is amazing. When I think back to our Thanksgiving basket outreach, I almost can't wait for Thanksgiving, but I do want to wait because that means cold weather. But when I watch your generosity and giving and then watched how many of you came to fill baskets. Generosity is the DNA of Calvary Church. And the day that we celebrate Marge Wagner, we go to the core of what this church is. And there's a favor that God has put on this church for such a time as this, is that your generosity is expressed to the community. So why are we doing this big serve? It's because God's opened incredible doors for us, and he's giving us favor, and we get to serve. And what's so amazing is there's going to be conversations, and this has been kind of a very interesting week already. So Thursday, one of our projects was to serve the Bayview Area Pregnancy Center. So Hannah, the director, called me Thursday, and she goes, I think I need to take us off the list. There was just some things that had come up with the building that they rent. And so it was like, it was just going to be problematic. And she felt bad because she's like, it just, the timing isn't going to be good. And I went, hey, I get it. Any other way, let me know how we can serve you going forward. But in that part, she goes, but Pastor, I so appreciate how you, I can watch your church connecting in this community. And she goes, I am just so grateful God sent you here. So she's saying all this, and but then she goes, I mean, you guys are doing a great job, and I feel like we're just getting started. And I feel like we're still taking some baby steps in this compared to what I know our church could really do when we flex our muscle, all right? And we mature in that vision. And what's so amazing is she goes, and this is just one of the funny parts, was I'm like, and I was going to tell her some of these other things that we've been doing, like the Thanksgiving basket. And she goes, oh, we're a foster care family. We got one of your baskets. And she goes, I just need to tell you, I was blown away. Because I knew we were getting a basket. She was thinking, basket. But she goes, I had no idea what was going to be in the basket. And she just, I mean, she goes, thank you for remembering us foster care parents. She goes, it really, and it was the heart that we prayed, is that foster care parents felt valued and not forgotten. Especially when you think that foster care parents, in your anybody that starts will quit. Half of them will quit in the first year. And so, and then she goes, you know, and then went on. We went from there about the car show. And just saying, just a simple thing of inviting the car show community to our church, just so that they can show off their cars. And but it is a way of serving our community. And she goes, oh yeah, I was there too. That was amazing. And I'm just starting to smile because I'm watching the principle behind that when we start connecting our acts of service and the continuation, the continuity that it's repeated, the message that's going out. We're beginning to penetrate Marinette and Menominee, this area. It's happening. It's happening. Like I'm seeing the cracks. People will rethink church because of our actions this week. When we go into it with a pure attitude, I'm praying, Lord, let there be no F-bombs this week. Please, Lord. But as we serve, here's the wonderful thing. As we serve with genuine hearts, one of the beautiful displays that people will get is when they start to see, they're going to be like, a church is doing this? See, if we get them to rethink, and here's the wonderful and the beauty part of it, we will never know on this side of heaven what the Holy Spirit will do with these moments. And that's part of what we've got to be reminded of. Third and finally, I want you to see this in this passage, Jesus' shocking response upon their return. The last few verses here, starting off in verse 17, because when they come back, I want you to see Jesus' response. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. And Jesus said, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I've been given authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes, scorpions, and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. So Jesus is telling us essentially, don't lose your perspective. And I want to challenge you in this week of serving, in how you live your life every day in your school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family. Don't lose your perspective on this, because you're going to watch people, conversations. There's going to be opportunities as we're doing our project, conversations will come up, and I need to say this in this way because I won't remember it. But as you're doing your work, you're having your conversations with people where we're at the sites, if the Holy Spirit leads that you can pray for somebody, do it. You can take a moment and say, hey, can I pray with you on that need? And forget the work and pray. Don't lose the perspective is what Jesus was reminding them here. And one of the parts that I love about that is because poverty, injustice, and disease, they're bad, but it's not life's biggest problem. We can look at all the injustices that we could see around in our community, But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is, where are people going for eternity? And they need to be able to stand before a pure and holy and righteous God and know that they could stand confidently and not in fear. And I want to basically, and so this is our challenge today, is that we will help people get connected to a loving God. So I leave you with four take-home lessons quickly, and then we'll pray. So four lessons that we can take home from this passage that I just pray jumps out to us as a church and to our Big Serve. But I pray it as we live it out as a church every single week, not just this week, and as individuals, every single day that God gives us. So the first life principle or lesson to take home is this: words without deeds lack credibility. Good deeds without words lack eternal impact. So these are two incredible statements in their own, because here's the challenge. Our culture already will tune out when they hear that you're a Christian. And often too many reasons why is because they hear a lot of talk, but they don't see the lifestyle or character behind it. And so words without deeds lack credibility. And in many ways, the living out too, it goes back to even lessons we learned in the book of James last week, that faith without works is dead. And it's this principle at work here, that when we have a true faith, a true root of salvation, you're going to have fruit that shows it. And it's words without deeds lack credibility, but then it just can't be about good acts. So what we're about to embark on this week of service isn't just about the acts of service themselves. It has to be coupled with words that bring eternal impact. And so we pray, conversations, and see, this is the long game too. Because trust me, what will come out of this week of service is we're going to have conversations down the road with other city leaders. We're going to have conversations down the road with other organizational leaders and people that are being served. And the repeated service will give us influence. And so it helps us to bring this principle to life. And it's a wonderful thing that we look for opportunities every single day. God gives us opportunities. And I often point, so I'm preaching to me when I'm saying this, is that we don't lose sight that God's giving us an opportunity every single day. Second, we can't claim to love God if we don't love our neighbor. And this is the heartbeat here too. And I love that God has given us the opportunity to serve the organizations that we get to serve, because James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless, is that we look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. And God's given us an opportunity to serve those organizations this week. And God's given us that opportunity to love our neighbor. One of the great ways is this becomes a very act of worship as we serve this week. Is that as we serve, we'll be able to help the defenseless who need somebody to stand up and see and recognize and see them. Thirdly, not every need has our name on it. And this is a balance to number two. Because one of the things you're going to find is when you have a heart of compassion to reach people, everywhere you turn, you're going to see a need. And not every need is going to have your name on it. In other words, you don't need to respond to every single need. That isn't let the Holy Spirit direct you to the need. And we're watching that principle already, because we could have gone 1,000 different directions in our serve. Like I could have initially, because of my background, Youth Alive, schools, we could have made this all about serving our local schools and just focus there. And I've actually had to try to purposely break just to say, God, I want what's for here, not just because of what I know. And just let God lead the way. And that's why I really feel like God is divinely doing that. And I am smiling on the other front, because I'm watching God, I feel like, putting school leaders that we have some incredible future for. Those of you that were here for our National Day of Prayer, for that prayer event that Thursday night, when you heard at that time the Menominee High School principal, Justin Bardowski, talk about what this current what they face here in Menominee, I don't think anybody left here. I mean, to me, I think that was the buzz of the night, is how staggering, because some points, how daunting. And it made you want to pray for every public school teacher, every principal, every administrator, with greater fervor. What I'm smiling at is Justin just became our Marinette High School principal, announced this last month. And not because of it, it's just across the river. And we ministered this whole area, but I just smiled because I'm glad he stayed. One, I'm glad he stayed in the area. But two, I'm just sitting there going, okay, God, you are lining things up that there's going to be ways we're going to serve in our schools. So it's coming. But not every need has our name on it. Let God lead you. Let God speak to you throughout, beyond this week, to what he would have to do in and through you. And fourth, if the worship team would come. Fourth, what we do throughout the year is far more important than these next several days. Please hear me. I am excited as I'll get out. And I know come Friday, I'll be praising the Lord that the week's over. My knees will be shot, whatever. But here's the deal. When I look at what God's going to do, it's far more important than us just doing a flash in the pan of 1 week. But it's intentionality that this is part of who we are. That we're on mission as a church. Because I believe that there's going to be other opportunities that are going to come our way in the years to come. And what we will call that effort, I don't know. But I can see how we're going to reach our community. And it's when we humbly, in the same way we live out in faith, our life before our God, when we're living open-handed, God, what you have given us is not my own. And God, even as a church, we offer our skills, even our lack of skills. I give it to you, and I just want to serve so that other people can know you. And this is the wonderful part of why in the world are we doing this? It's because we're living our lives open-handed. We're living our lives as one transformed by the gospel. And my prayer is that this isn't a big event, but a catalyst to changing how we approach everyday living. And may this church be different. May us individually be different because of this week. And I'm so grateful for this team because you will be ironing, sharpening iron. And I pray for transformation in all of your other locations. May it be here too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, I just thank you for this week. God, I just pray over every project and God, everything that'll need to be finished. God, for all the people who will be out here this week with hammers, paintbrushes, rakes, shovels, wheelbarrows. Oh God, we need your protection because I know how some people will wield a tool. We need protection. But God, I just pray, go before us and God, help us to show the world your love. God, may this be something we do as a body and as a church that God becomes a practice for each of us individually. God, may every school that we return to this fall, may every workplace, may every job site, God, I pray every relationship we have that we get to go back to at the end of this week, God, be a mission field of your love. Simply by the way we serve and living our lives humbly before you. And God, even as we pray this, God, if there is any sense of pride, ego, we let it go. Because God, that is not why we're doing this week. It's not about our church name. God, it's really about your gospel. And God, we just thank you that you will be lifted up this week. God, teach us to be more like you. God, Jesus, teach us to be more like you. And help us not to just believe in Jesus and God, but God, may we walk in the power of your Holy Spirit this week and everything we do. May you change us in how we see the world. Father, we ask you to transform us, Lord, as we do this week of service, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to do one more thing before I lean it to the worship team. If I could have our church board please come and join me on the platform. I want to do a quick announcement thing. So if all the board members would come and Marlo or Tom, if you would grab the sign there. Would have much rather have done this in person with Marge here. I can remember my first month here. It might have been my first 6 weeks. I was trying to figure out who this Marge person was. I'd see a car parked there, and then I was like, who's Marge? And like Catherine and Tara in the office would be telling me, oh yeah, she was here this last Sunday. And I'm like, how am I missing her? And kept seeing the parking sign. And so Marge, as you're watching this, this will be coming your way today. In fact, we're taking some plates of dinner from what we're serving the team and gonna send it to the family. Along with it, in fact, gotta remember one other thing, but we're gonna make sure that Marge takes this with her so that it's a reminder that she has a church that loves her. And as much as that sign represents Marge, a place reserved for you to park, you need to know you've reserved a parking spot in our heart because we love you, because of how you lived your faith. And we want to pray for you. We want to pray for your kids as you're going through this. And so as you make this change, just always when you see this, we pray it brings a smile to your face every single day. Because we, this church, we just are grateful for you. So if you would pray with me, let's pray for Marge. Let's pray for Don and Georgia as they're wrapping things up. And pray for the whole family. This is not easy on the kids' side either. It's been a very delicate balance. And thank you for bringing the picture. In fact, if you don't mind, stretch out your hand towards the screen as we would if I would have had you do that if Marge was sitting in the crowd. Let's stretch out our hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Marge. Thank you for the faith that, God, you have done in her life, the transformation that you have done, that God has radiated to our friendships and our relationships. Thank you for a life lived well. And that, God, words are not left unspoken and prayers are not left unspoken. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name a hedge of protection around Marge as she travels. And God, we pray, let her always know that this church is praying for her, believes in her. And Father, we pray, Father, for the kids as they and the grandkids, but the kids, Lord, as they and their spouses, as they've made this difficult decision too, that God, I just pray a grace upon grace. God, be with them and strengthen them. And may they feel your presence ever near and be a strength. And Father, we pray that you will strengthen them. May there be such a joy in the midst of the tears, a joy, a confidence that they are walking in your plan and in your purposes. Just as much as we are doing our week of service, God, they are walking in a purpose for their lives. And Lord, we pray, let there be that strength that God and grace that only you can bring in such a moment as this. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Marge. So I'm going to have our worship team lead us into a song, and this is why this is so fitting that we're doing both things. Only God could orchestrate how we can honor one of our longest term members and do one of our biggest serve things that we've ever done or attempted. Only God could do that. And it's a great reminder for us today. As we go to honor Marge, I sit there and think, the reason Calvary Church is here is because we're walking on the echoes of others' prayers. The prayers that she prayed decades ago when the church was that church of Calvary then, who would have known that Calvary would be this? Who would have thought? I mean, I would love to see when Calvary started in 98 years ago, and two women having a prayer meeting, and what would their faces be like if they were here today? The tears that would stream down their face. So as we go to do this week a serve, I can't help but think, we're impacting not just today, but the Calvary Church. We're walking, as we walk in steps of faith, we're actually walking in the footprints of the faith that Marge had walked. And now there's a generation that will follow us of Calvary Church that will be walking in our steps of faith. They'll be walking on the echoes of our prayers of faith. So the prayers that you're praying, God, help me to do this in my personal life, is just not about you. You just need to know that, because it'll radiate to others in our church. It'll become a DNA of our church as all of us together, and it will watch the influence that'll be for generations to come. It's one of the things I keep reminding myself is I know that there will be a day, there will be another pastor here. And I want to be able to lead to a point that the very next person who's here, that is the next lead pastor of this church. I'm not going anywhere. But it's the heart that there's always a succession. And I want to lead with that intentionality. Because I might say, you might hear me say, oh, I love my church. You just need to know, it's not my church. May we live that life today. May we be the church. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful moments that we have this morning. And Father, help us to close out this service to be the church. As we celebrate a week of serving, we celebrate Marge, we celebrate what makes Calvary, Calvary. God, we celebrate what you have made each one of us uniquely ourselves. God, we celebrate the transformation that you are doing in changing our faith and our life. Help us to walk in that today with confidence and a joy and an excitement of what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.